It's Chris-a-mania, brother.
That's a great question. Look at you, man, with the powerful questions.
Woo!
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show. Chris Van Vliet Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet!
How are you, my friends? Thank you for joining me on another download of the Chris Van Vliet Show. Or should I say the CVV Show? Because on this one, it's CVV and RVD. And what a guy. What a chat. What a legend. It was such a pleasure to sit down and talk with Rob Van Dam. And if you enjoy this one, please just take a screenshot, tag me on Instagram or Twitter. Let me know what you think of it. And I really do appreciate you listening to this. The podcast is 7 weeks old now. I'm really getting into the feel of this. And, you know, I was hesitant for a while to do a podcast because I was so focused on my YouTube channel. I didn't want anything taking the attention away from that. It took me a while, but I finally realized that there's room for both. And I think the audio version is obviously so much more portable. I mean, you can take this anywhere. Think of where you're listening to this right now. You know, chances are it's a place you probably wouldn't be able to watch a 40-minute YouTube video. So I'm enjoying it. I'm glad to hear that you guys are enjoying it. Podcasts and my YouTube interviews, they kind of like coexist together. So we're going to keep growing them bigger and better. The YouTube will always be the priority. I mean, that's something I've had for 8.5 years. The podcast now for 7.5 weeks. So, you know, I'm still going to keep doing both. And hopefully the potential keeps growing here for both. And we just keep getting bigger and better. And we do it together. How does that sound? Thank you for the reviews that you're sending in. They're so appreciated. You don't even understand how much they really help our ranking on Apple Podcasts. So please keep doing that. I'm going to keep reading one on every show to say thank you. Also to give a little shout out to help you be part of the show as well. Maybe kind of nudges you to do one yourself. I mean, it can literally be two words if you want. It could be like, good job, or sounds good, or Chris rocks. Chris Rock? Chris rocks? Not Chris Rock, the person. You know what I mean. W4 writes, great stuff. Nothing but great pro wrestling interviews, no matter if I know the guest or not. It's an engaging experience. CVV is the common denominator on all of them. W4, that's very kind. Thank you so much. And I hope you enjoy this chat with Rob Van Dam as much as I did. But first, the Chris Van Vliet Show is brought to you by Green Roads. And if you're looking into CBD products, look no further because Green Roads is the best. And not all CBD products are created equal. A lot of them don't even have actual CBD in the ingredients. But for me, it's helped my personal experience with it. I've got a lot on the go here. I host a TV show. I have a YouTube channel. I have a podcast. I travel around doing these interviews. I also run a fishing company called Woo Tungsten. Got a lot on my plate. Also try to see my girlfriend when I have the time to do that. It's a long distance relationship right now. I'm in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. She's in Cincinnati, Ohio. So there's a lot going on here. CBD oil has really helped me kind of, I don't know, balance things, mellow out, and not have to, you know, be too worried or anxious about things. I'm not really a stressy person, but this definitely helps. A couple drops under the tongue. And the relaxed gummies, they not only taste great, they taste so good I want to eat a lot of them. But they taste great, and they help a lot. So if you've been thinking of trying CBD products, Green Roads is the way to go. And I'll help you with my code, Chris15. You get 15% off your order at greenroadsworld.com. Chris15 for 15% off at greenroadsworld.com. The CVV show is also brought to you by the microphone that I'm speaking into, the cables, the mixing board, everything that's making this sound as good as it does. Because I know I've listened to podcasts, and you have too, where you're like, is the microphone on one side of the room and the person's on the other side? Like, I can barely hear them. Well, you need good equipment if you want people to think that your podcast is good. And Samson Tech has helped with that. SamsonTech.com is where you can check out their full lineup. People ask me all the time. I know there's a lot of creators that listen to this that go, man, where do you get your equipment from? Well, there's your answer. And it's not that expensive. Like, some microphones from other companies are like $300, $400, $500 for just one mic. You can buy some great quality Samson Technologies microphones for like $50. And they sound, I mean, this is how good they sound. Listen to this. All right. I did this interview WrestleMania weekend in New York City, and this interview with Rob Van Dam almost didn't happen. New York City is a great city, but it's probably the worst city to hold a WrestleMania in. And I've been to 9 WrestleManias. Everything in New York is so spread out. I mean, WrestleMania itself isn't even in the state of New York. NXT's in Brooklyn. WrestleCon's all the way up by Central Park. So it's all like super spread out. Everyone's in different hotels all over the city. So I'm in a cab on my way to do this interview with RVD at his hotel, which was like a 25-minute cab ride away because I'm way downtown in my hotel, like closer to where NXT was. He's way uptown, closer to like where WrestleCon was. And I'm on my way to his hotel and he texts me and says, oh, I have dinner plans now. They just came up. Is there any way we can do the interview at a different location, at this hotel where we're going to have dinner at this restaurant? So I'm like, of course, Rob Van Dam. So I tell the taxi to turn around. We start heading in the other direction. And we get there and it's at the Dream Hotel, which is this really nice hotel in like, I don't know what district. If you're from New York, you know what I'm talking about. We get there and I'm like, where are we going to do this interview? Rob's not staying there. I'm not staying there. So I go up to the front desk and I'm like, hey, I have a WWE superstar. WrestleMania is in town. WWE superstar Rob Van Dam's here. We want to do an interview here. Is there anywhere we can do this? Because it's like a super loud, dark lobby of this hotel. And the guy was so nice. I said, can we get like a room for like half an hour? Oh, that sounds really weird. Can I get a room for half an hour? He was very nice. There was a bar upstairs on like the second floor that they weren't using at the time. And he's like, yeah, you could use that. We'll be happy to open that up for you. I'm like, oh my God. Thank you. So everything came together. Thank you to the Dream Hotel for making that work. Thank you for Rob Van Dam for making this happen too. And I'm so glad that it all came together because Rob is for sure a future Hall of Famer. It's very interesting to hear who he thinks should induct him into the Hall of Fame. It's just, there's so much great stuff in this conversation. Also his take on love now, I thought was really interesting. He's now dating Katie Forbes. He's divorced from his other relationship, and it's given him a whole new outlook on life. So please enjoy this chat with the whole effing show, Rob Van Dam. And yeah, you know I did the whole pointing thing with my thumb when I did that.
Yeah, just two dudes hanging out at a bar. The only problem is there's no alcohol or people at this bar.
That's a pretty big problem.
Yeah. Although, are you an alcohol guy and a weed guy?
Well, I am, but mostly just at this later stage in life. Like, throughout my whole career and most of my adult life, I was such a proponent for marijuana that I looked down on alcohol because I was like telling people it's safer for you than alcohol, and alcohol causes car crashes and this and that, and makes you violent, and it's the lead to all these drug, you know, crimes, and marijuana doesn't do that, you know. And I actually just was, you know, just got into the hippie zone of smoking, but for the last several years anyway, I do enjoy to drink.
So you're on board with drinking now?
Absolutely.
What's your drink of choice?
It's been beer lately.
Okay.
I went through some really low times, which I talk about in my documentary. You saw it, right?
Headspace.
Headstrong. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Headspace.
Headstrong.
That's cool. Yeah. But as I said in there, you know, I went through some rough times. I allowed myself a period to drink. I'm like, hey, fuck it. I need a scandal. You know what I mean? Not that I need one.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I've gone this long with a perfect record. You know, if I get, you know, but luckily I didn't hurt anybody. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But because I was drunk like a lot, and at that point I was, for a while it was Sambuca.
Okay.
Going to drink Sambuca, and yeah, most people would be like, oh no, and I'd be like, come on, have some pussy. And you know, Fireball for quite a while, doing Fireball shots, which still is one of my go-tos when it comes to doing shots, but now I drink responsibly. I was drinking to totally drown my brain before, and to change my thoughts
yeah.
as far away from where they were as possible. So it was a punishing thing. One time, and this was at my rock bottom here, and I'll put a lot more detail when I get into my autobiography, but I'm already hammered, right, at this bar, and the guy that was taking care of me left for a few minutes, and when he came back, the bartender told him that I had done 15 shots in a row that were lined up. And I remember the bartender was doing double shots because the fans were buying them. So every time they'd buy a shot, the bartender would go, "You want a double shot since they're paying for it?" I'd go, "Sure." What kind of bartender would serve 15 double shots to anybody, let alone someone that's already blasted?
Right.
That was a really rough day. I had a 13-hour blackout.
That was
that was my rock bottom.
Oh my God.
Like I said,
what was the catalyst for that?
Oh, you know, the fact that the wife left, and the divorce was really rough for me. You know, I was kicking and screaming, fighting it. I didn't want it. I looked at it like a failure. Had I known I'd be so happy now, then I would have been like, okay, cool, let's do this quick. But at the time, you know, I looked at it like something I didn't want. And then, so really all I had was my little dog. Like that was my whole source of love. You know, the wife left, I just had the dog, boom, dog died. And then boom, my dad died. That was the source for it. You know, I was just like, I got in such a deep depression. I knew the whole time, like, dude, I know I'll get through this and I'll be RVD. People love me everywhere. There'll always be opportunity. And I could tell myself that, yet at the same time, I would find myself just like bursting out crying out of nowhere and I couldn't stop. And it was, you know, there's a lot to do with brain chemistry that I've learned since then. But going through all that, I just decided, you know what? I think I deserve to drink. I choose to drown my sorrows, and I did. Yeah.
After going through that, is there not a point of you that, or a part of you that goes, I don't need to drink anymore, I'm over that?
Well, I guess, you know, it's more for me that I know that I don't need it. Like, you know, I've never been addicted to anything. Like, I can, like, drink for several days, and then if I go a couple of days without, I don't get, like, withdrawals or any kind of, you know, like, oh, my God, I got to have it, or Jones. And so sure. So I know that I have it in control and that it's all a choice, and so I choose to just be responsible now. You know, fact is, if I have more than a few beers in a night, I pay for it the next day, and it's not worth it anymore.
Yeah. Right. So you're now officially with Impact Wrestling. You actually worked last night.
True.
So what was the decision to sign with Impact?
It was all business, you know, like every interview I've done over the last several years since I stepped out of the, you know, 300 day a year schedule. I was like, dude, I don't want any more of that. I wanted to work less, and I've always been trying to work less and less and make more money. And a lot of people say, well, sure, me too, but I've been pretty good at it. And so it's like the less that I want to stay in the ring, it seems like my value keeps going up. And it's just, you know, the way everything turns out. Of course, you know, my career and all my accomplishments and all of that are the main factors. But also there's not that many other people that are in my status, you know, of legend, world champion, whole effing show, need I go on, that can still get in the ring, you know, and do it all. And so the harder I try to make myself accessible, the harder they work to get me. Yeah. So that's what was going in, was all business. First I signed for one show, which was last night. Mm-hmm. Didn't even realize it was an Impact show. It was just a one-off at WrestleCon. Wow. Yeah, I was like, oh, cool, I'll team with Sabu again. Yeah, and, you know, hey, they're meeting my fee. Cool. And, you know, and then I saw in the contract that it was Impact, and I was like, that's interesting. And then Scott D'Amore, you know, talked to me about doing a few more dates, and then I agreed to that, and then a few more dates, and I agreed to that. So I'll be around for a while, and it is because they're making it worth my while.
When you look ahead, do you have like an exit plan for how much longer you want to wrestle for?
No, I've been saying for a long time that I could stop anytime. In fact, I can't believe I have to buy another pair of wrestling boots. I thought for sure years ago I was buying my last pair because I wouldn't be wrestling that much more. But I keep doing it, and I still feel like I probably won't be doing it that much longer. But honestly, I don't know, because there's advantages to it for sure. You know, I mean, I'm not as hungry and passionate as a lot of the other guys, especially people that are earlier in their careers. Because you do have to eat, sleep, and breathe it to get into it.
Yeah.
And let alone trying to get ahead, you know, of everybody else. But for me, I've just done it so long that, you know, I worked hard to not work hard anymore. I prefer a day off to a day on.
Yeah.
And I just like to chill, you know, but when it's worth it, it's worth it, you know?
What made you decide that you wanted to agree to do this documentary?
So originally the idea was just, you know, because I do stand-up comedy sometimes. Yeah. And the idea Tom Garland had was we could bring a camera on the road, shoot this 7-day tour behind the scenes, make a little, you know, documentary film out of it. And I said, yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Show some of my stand-up comedy and also share what it's like being me as far as my reception, the way I'm received by people everywhere, because people love me everywhere. And I don't know if everybody knows that or not, you know, that everywhere I go, everyone's like so excited to see me. And that's what I wanted to capture. But when I showed up on day one for the documentary, I had symptoms of a concussion that I got 3 days before. And at first I'm thinking, I'm sure I'll be fine tomorrow. I'm not going to let it change my plans. The next day, I'm sure it'll go away tomorrow. I'm not going to let it change my plans. And then eventually, it changed my plans. And the whole documentary takes a major turn and becomes about something much bigger. I mean, originally, shooting the little video of the road trip, who knows, it could have been a YouTube video or something, but now it encompasses so much of my life, you know, with the backstory. And after the tour, it follows me to California and into my home, and also explores with me what's going on with my head. You know, I'm going to Curl and Job and getting my brain checked out with the wonders of, you know, do I got CTE? Is this something, you know, that are these the consequences of 30 years of bashing my head in? And so it's really cool that we had the camera along, because people that watch it tell me that they feel like they're living it with me, and it's like a bit of a roller coaster of emotions.
All right, we're going to get back to RVD in just a second, but come on, football season is here, people, and it's time to start placing your bets for NFL and college football. Blue Wire, my podcast network, is teaming up with Sports Information Traders and the legend, John Price, one of the world's most successful sports bettors, so listeners can be given the chance to make more money on football this season. Go to sportsinformationtraders.com/blue and get the college football and NFL future plays and make up to 15 times your money for only a $99 investment. Last year, Sports Information Traders correctly predicted the Clemson Tigers to win the college football championship, making one client alone $110,000. The year before that, Kurt Presley of Sports Information Traders made $1 million with a preseason wager that the Eagles would win the Super Bowl. John Price and the Sports Information Traders can guide you on the best ways to make money on future bets and preseason football betting picks. You get all that for $99 and the opportunity to make 15 times your money. It's totally worth getting Sports Information Traders betting picks. Sports Information Traders has been featured in ESPN, Gambling911.com, Entrepreneur Magazine, and so many others. And John Price has been successfully making money on sports betting for over 20 years. Make a big return for a small investment with Sports Information Traders future picks. You can get started now by going to sportsinformationtraders.com/blue. Again, it's sportsinformation.com/blue to have your chance at a 15-time return this football betting season.
You talk about concussions and these injuries. I'm sure you saw what John Oliver had to say about WWE.
I did.
There must be some truths in there, you know?
Sure, there is some truths, but I mean, there's also some opinions, and you know, those will vary. I enjoy being an independent contractor. And I find that I'm usually in the minority when it comes to that, as far as how my peers feel. But then I think that a lot of general rules will help the under guys more than the over guys. And I think that's really what you're pulling for.
Well, I think the what John's saying here is you're an independent contractor, but not really, because you can only work for this one company. If you were truly independent, you'd be able to go wherever you want.
But so the way I see it, I'm an independent contractor, so I sign an agreement with them, and all the terms are negotiable on the agreement. You know what I mean? First off, they keep you so busy, you're not gonna have time to work anywhere else. You don't even have time to go home. So, I mean, forget about that. What are you gonna do? You're on top in the WWE on TV, and who else are you gonna wanna work for? The local fair that in front of 50 people? You don't know. Yeah. But, you know, they say, oh, there's no health insurance, but you know what? If you need that in your deal, then you negotiate that. You say, you know what? I have to have health insurance. You want your hotel room taken care of? You get it in your contract and you make that agreement. I enjoy the freedom of being an independent contractor to make that deal. Now, some of the guys that might not have as much leverage as me because maybe they don't sell as many tickets, I think it helps those guys out more because they can't really step forward and have with the same negotiating power. And so that's how I see it, is it's probably gonna help them more, because come on, you think Triple H doesn't have health insurance?
Absolutely, and that's the thing. And as an independent contractor, they just pay for your flights, right?
Well, like I said, it's all in your deal. Okay. And the guys do have different deals. A lot of the guys have buses that are paid for. Big Show, John Cena, Rey Mysterio had one. Randy Orton had one. Wow. Big rock and roll, you know, tour buses that would take them. They'd have a driver that drives them. Boom, boom, boom. And that was part of their deal that they made. I didn't have a tour bus, you know, but if I would have went to the office and said, I gotta have one, then that would have had to have been considered. You know, if you throw it out on the table, that's how it works. So, when I first went to WWE, they were paying for my flights and they were paying for my hotel rooms, but I didn't even know they were paying for my rooms, so I wasn't even staying there. I was paying for my own rooms until eventually I got a letter that said, okay, we're not gonna pay for your rooms anymore because you passed the period. I'm like, what? I didn't know anything about that.
No.
Yeah.
You walked into the hotel that we're at right now with your girlfriend, Katie. And I think from the outside looking in, a lot of people just see her as a beautiful woman. What does she mean to you as a person?
Everything. Like, she's the coolest person that I've ever met. And also like the most compatible. Like, I never thought that I would like want a serious relationship with any kind of female in the entertainment business, because I know how it goes. You know, there's a lot of separation and there's a lot of people going all over the world touring with other unscrupulous people or whatever. But none of that matters, because when I met Katie, like right off the bat, we had like such a deep bond that she recognizes in me that I'm genuine and that I'm honest and that I'm never gonna lie to her, never gonna hurt her, and I recognize the same thing. We both appreciate that and respect each other so much that there's like totally no worries there, and that's like, that makes life like so much easier. And we both know that we have each other's backs in any kind of situation, and she's the closest person to me, my best friend, my soulmate, and it's, you know, really my reward from the universe for everything that I've been through before, for sure.
After having a marriage that didn't work out, ended in divorce, would you consider getting married again?
I would, believe it or not. I'm not letting that one experience affect how I feel about marriage. I was just totally with the wrong person. And now when I look back at it, it's so easy to see what a mismatch we always were and how much of a struggle just the easiest things in life were, and the ridiculous fights, you know, over whatever, putting the forks the wrong way in the dishwasher or whatever. And it was all the underlying issue of the fact that we didn't have the same values. Mm-hmm. We didn't want the same things in life at all. And one of us was honest and open, and one of us gave nothing but mixed messages the whole time, and that's why it lasted so long.
Sure.
You know, but looking back at it, you know, I can say, boom, I'm glad to move on past that. And for sure, you know, like Katie's my soulmate, and I don't think either one of us is in a hurry to get married. I think that her priorities should be with her career right now because she's up and coming, but definitely not afraid to talk about it. Yeah.
As a fan of Rob Van Dam the wrestler and Rob Van Dam the human, I'm just super happy that you're happy.
Cool. Me too.
I see your name get thrown around a lot for the Hall of Fame. And people are thinking, you know, if not this year, then next year, maybe the year after that. Has anyone approached you about this?
No. I hear it from the fans and it's like, okay, as long as you think so. But, you know, who knows? I don't know. I have no expectations. You know what I mean?
Well, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen.
If you say so.
All right. Who would you want to induct you? When it happens.
I mean, right off the bat, I think Paul Heyman, you know what I mean? I think it would really be good for me to try to hear his perspective firsthand of what his thoughts were on me and him developing me, you know what I mean? Like, because it would be like an experience for me for him to open up like that, you know what I mean? You know, I mean, at the time, even if I was only wrestling for like 6 years at the time, at that point, I didn't think that I was just someone, you know, like I didn't think I was like that, like green and had like 10 years of learning to do. But, you know, everywhere in life, it's part of growing. Every time when you're growing, you're always looking back at a lesser you. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's the way it works.
When you look back at your career, do you have a favorite match from ECW, favorite match from TNA, favorite match from WWE?
Maybe. I mean, I always go with the RVD Jerry Lynn matches from ECW.
Sure. How could you not?
Right. Although, of course, I loved wrestling Sabu, and there was a lot of really good matches there. And TNA, I don't know, maybe it was Jerry Lynn again or Sabu. Also, there was a match or two with Abyss that I really enjoyed. And then with WWE, the greatest thing for me was bringing the ECW style back in the WWE spotlight and then changing the entire playing field so that I was the right guy to be the champion. Otherwise, that never would have happened. Yeah. So for me, that's a major accomplishment as far as like changing the business besides just influencing all the wrestlers that are stealing my moves now.
Who's stealing your moves?
Oh, everybody, dude. I'm so OG that everybody now grew up watching me, and so now they're doing, about the Impact. I'm going back to Impact. I put it on, and I see this one guy doing it. They called it a 6-star frog splash. Like, what? That's a challenge out there.
Seth's frog splash does look a lot like yours.
Yeah, but, you know, that's what happens when you're off the scene for a while, and I couldn't tell anybody when I'm back or whatever, but...
Did Shane ask permission before he started doing the Van Terminator?
No, it doesn't work that way.
Sometimes it works that way.
That's true. Now, sometimes it does. Sometimes.
So did you just see it on TV and went, huh?
I can't remember. I mean, I'm sure people told me because I wouldn't have like watched the WWE pay-per-view and then said, oh my God, because I don't watch it, because especially when I'm doing it, you know, it's like the last thing that I want to watch is work. And so I don't remember who the first one to tell me, but I did hear Paul open up one time and say that he showed Shano footage of me doing the Van Terminator and said, you think you can do that? Totally gave my move to him.
Wow.
It happens. You can't copyright moves, you know. I'm just stoked that and a little mystified that more people haven't ripped off all my moves, you know what I mean?
Yeah. As a percentage, how often do you think you wrestled high?
What time period?
Oh, wow. Let's start with ECW.
I'm going to say 100%. Yeah.
Okay. What if we go after ECW was bought and then you went over to WWE?
Well, now you're talking over like from 2001 all the way till my last run.
Okay. Well, you tell me.
Let's do that.
Okay.
That'll be more favorable. Okay. Let's go all the way till the last run in 2014, in which case I would say much, much lower, much more like maybe 90%.
Much, much lower. Is there any danger to your opponent when you're high?
I don't know. You know, like back in the day, I know there would be certain people that would put together the fact that I would hurt a lot of people and the fact that I was stoned. And when I was in that competitive state of mind, I would like be offended by it. You know what I mean? Like, screw you. You know, like you're saying something about me and my skills, you know, and I can do this with my eyes closed. And my ego, you know, just took over like that. But looking back at it, you know, I don't think so, but I definitely think they had a reason. They had an argument that was worth considering. I'll say that. But you know, when you use it all the time, it doesn't affect you the way it affects other people. And that's the way that most information is put together, is by firsthand experience. So you'll hear people that say, oh no, nobody should be driving a smoke. And I'd smoked one time and I couldn't tell you my name. They have no idea what the fuck they smoked, you know, what else was in their body. So anyway, it doesn't affect that everybody. So all drugs affect everybody different.
Sure.
You know, but that's one that for sure there's functional users that use it to release stress, bring their spiritual vibration up and just live the day like that. And then, you know, there's other people that, let's get baked, man. And I'm really, you know, I don't even know if I was ever one of those.
So you were the first one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Responsible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And you're high right now, but that's okay.
Dude, I had a documentary project for a while before this one that who knows if it'll ever see the light of day, but it went through some stages of development trying to put this together of in two part. It was a documentary on the effects, the true effects that cannabis has on athletes. So I had like you know, Nick Diaz, we're gonna talk about UFC, and we're gonna talk, who's the football player in San Francisco that he's cannabis friendly? Yeah, he has a 420 gym up there, but anyway.
Well, the comment people, they'll figure it out, yeah.
Yeah, but so anyway, this was a project, you know, for a while, and I was gonna go around and interview everybody and get their first-hand information, because there's so much misinformation on the internet, purposely put out there. Sure. And so I want, you know, first-hand, like, effects it has on you and the sport that you're in, and how the legislation looks at it, you know, as far as the office, is it banned, it fines, whatever. And I wanted to be a guinea pig and, as a long-term user, go through every single test that anybody could do, memory test, you know, cognitive test, my lungs, my heart, everything. And like I said, I don't know if that'll ever get done or not, but there's just so much misinformation out there. And RVD is exceptional in every way. You know, you can't compare yourself to RVD, but there's still that's an area where there's still a lot of information to be learned by everybody. So I have the interest in that, and I still do some, but you know, I used to spend a lot more energy advocating when it was an uphill fight. I first did a High Times magazine interview in like 97, and of course the other wrestlers were like, man, don't do it, you're shooting yourself in the foot, they'll check you at the airport, you know, just do your own thing. And I was like, people gotta know, you know, like this can help people. And it's like they're telling you that it's a Schedule I drug, no medicinal value, the most dangerous drug we have, along with heroin and acid. And Schedule II, which is more medicinal and higher in society value, is cocaine and meth. But the thing is, I was taught that in school in 1988, and they still today, those are the guidelines. And so I just felt like people need to know that, but that was years ago. Now, most people know that. It's sad, but most people know more than the government.
Yeah.
Because that is still the, look up the Controlled Substance Act, and that's still how it is right now. But we have so many states, like I think we have like 33 or so states that are medical. And when we have 2/3 of the country, then the federal government is supposed to have a mandatory change. So that'll happen if they don't change it, just on grounds of common sense, before soon.
Who is the coolest person you've ever smoked with?
Oh, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I do have an answer, but
okay.
Okay,
we can guess.
Well,
sure.
Yeah. I've had some cool ones,
okay.
Yeah, but this guy I don't think would appreciate me dropping his name. So.
How can people find your documentary?
Dude, it's called Headstrong. It's on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Vudu, and Fight TV.
Great. Well, is there a website we can link to as well?
There's also headstrongrvd.com. There I always forget about that. But well, yeah, go there.
So I'll link that below. You guys can check it out. You can, you know, basically learn a different side of RVD.
Dude, you learn my whole perspective on life, how I use my outlook to go through my journey, and I bring everybody with the journey. So, you know, worked really, really hard on the movie for a long time, at least like 2 years of just editing it. Drove my partner nuts, the filmmaker guy, because I had to have it just right. They go over it and over it and over it and over it, and he wanted to be done with it. He never thought that it would end, and he had me a few times actually sign a piece of paper and date it and say the movie's officially done after this last edit. And then a few days later, I said, "Dude, these three small things, it would just make the flow so much better." And because I feel the energy. I don't the schooling that he had, but we came together, got it perfect, and the reviews, the feedback has been like outstanding. I couldn't have known that people were gonna love it like this. You know, it's not like I make a lot of movies. Some people call it important, and the fact is, I'm so open and candid that even talking about my experiences with concussions, I found is kind of like breaking new ground, and so that's really cool.
And you've been open and honest here. I know you have dinner plans, so I want to be respectful of your time, man, how cool is it that we're hanging out with RVD?
Right?
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Awesome, dude.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Van Dam. I feel like I could have talked to him all night, but I wanted to be respectful of the dinner plans that he had with his girlfriend, Katie Forbes, who was actually sitting next to us during the interview, at least for some of it. She was like basically sitting there till the other people that were in their dinner party joined. So you see her walking in the background. If you've seen the YouTube video, if you haven't, well, check it out and you can see exactly what I'm talking about there. Thanks for listening to this. Thank you for the reviews. Please keep them coming in. I'm going to keep reading them on all the episodes. Thank you to our sponsors, Sports Information Traders. You can go to sportsinformationtraders.com/blue for the college football and NFL future plays for only $99. Thank you to Green Roads. Head over to greenroadsworld.com. If you're thinking of CBD products, you can use my code CHRIS15 to get 15% off. Also, thank you to Samson Technologies. They make us sound great, and they make the podcast what it is today. 2 weeks from now, All Out in Chicago. I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there? Because if you are, it'd be great to meet you. If you see me, please come say hi. We'll high five and shake hands and take a photo, whatever you want. Also, let me know which interviews you'd like me to do that weekend. I'm going to try to line up as many as I can. I'm going to leave you with a quote here. I don't know who said this. I just saw it on Instagram, and you know how that works. You just see the quote on there, and it's not attributed to anybody, but it's a good one. The single biggest mistake you will make in life is failing to set targets high enough. So good. All right. Have a great day. We'll see you soon, and also, woo!